Okay.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Yom Kippur is coming upon us very soon, and I think this is a question that often comes up when we learn about Yom Kippur in school. We learn about how to prepare, and that is regarding the halachos of Bein Adam L'Chavero, between us and our other friends, about people we may have offended, people who may have said things that were hurtful, we didn't mean it on purpose, we made a joke, and it wasn't a joke to that person. So how do we ask for mechila? And if we are going to ask for mechila, what if it's really, really awkward? What if you did something and it was really uncomfortable and you don't want to ask for mechila, but you really feel bad about it? Do you have to ask for mechila at the end of the day? Or can I assume, and this is going to be our question, you know, I know Shprint Sabela. She is super nice. There's nobody here Shprint Sabela, right?
Close?
Okay. So I know Shprint Sabela. I know Shprint Sabela. And I know for sure, that, you know, before Yom Kippur, she's going to be mochel, she's going to forget of all of her friends, and I'm going to be fine. So is that enough for me? So let's look. We have here a Gemara. The Gemara says, in Maseches Yuma, the laws of Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, Darash of Eliezer ben Azariah. Eliezer ben Azariah taught from the Pesukim of Yom Kippur. Mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titzaru. You have to be purified before all of it. You will be purified before Hashem from all of your sins. Averos sheben adam lemakom. That's only lefnei Hashem. Only averos that you did between you and Hashem, Yom Kippur will take care of. Mechaper averos sheben adam lechaver en yom kippur mechaper ad shiratis chavero. Until you appease, until you ask for forgiveness. So it seems from the Gemara, what? It seems that if you hurt your friend, you upset them, you did something that was insulting, then tough. You gotta go. You gotta say something to them. Shear's over. We can all go home. And that's what the Gemara says. But I want to show you that it's not agreed upon by everybody. Let's see. The Gemara tells us, we have here a Gemara Maseches Yuma. Now this question regarding do I have to ask for Mechila, I saw was asked by Rav Pinchas Yusman. He's the picture I put in front of you on the page over there. The rabbi, the first rabbi with the beard. He was known as the Pilitzer Rebbe. He is the brother-in-law of the Sfas Emes. Okay, we've heard of his commentary on the Torah, his Chedushim on the Gemara as well. So he asked this question. Now he doesn't give an answer, he just leaves it as a question, but I think that we can perhaps give an answer to him. Let me tell you a story. The Gemara here in front of you, I'm not going to read the Gemara inside, but it's the Gemara in Maseches Yuma and Daf Pei Zayin. Listen to the following story. One day, Rav, the great Amora, the great, the beginning of the Amoraim, the end of the Tanaim, Rav saw Yom Kippur was coming, and he remembered that there was a butcher in town. And the butcher had insulted Rav in a very bad way. He had really insulted him in a very inappropriate way. So he said, it's before Yom Kippur, I'm going to be a nice guy, I'm going to go to him and give him a chance to ask for mechila, to give him a chance to make up for what he did. So Rav is on the way to the butcher's store, and he sees his student Rav Huna. And Rav Huna says to Rav, Rebbe, where are you going? So he said, I'm going to talk to the butcher because he insulted me. I want to make up with him and I want to see, clear this all up before Yom Kippur. So Rav Huna said, ooh, I want to come. It's going to be like a show. Like someone's going to get hurt. I know something's going to go down. So Rav Huna comes along with Rav and they go to the butcher's shop and Rav, you know, opens the door. The bell goes ding as he walks into the store. And the butcher is chopping like bones, like large cuts of meat with the bone in the middle with this huge knife. And he's chopping the bones and he's slamming it down and slamming it down. He looks pretty aggressive and mean. And he looks up and he sees Rav walk into the room. And he looks up and he says, get out of here. I don't want to see you. I don't have anything to do with you. I hate you. And he starts cursing him out in front of the whole butcher shop. So he looks, Rav's kind of standing there stunned. And the butcher takes his knife one more time and he slams it down on the bone in front of him and the bone flips up in the air, hits him in the neck and it kills him on the spot. So obviously Rav Huna was right about that something was going to go down and that's the end of the Gemara for now. We only care about one thing and that is if Rav wanted the butcher to have a clean slate in Yom Kippur, what could he have done? What could he have done easily without going there? What could he have done? He could have just forgiven him. He could have been mochel him, right? He could have said, the butcher was a jerk. He did something not nice, but I forgive him. Hashem, give him a clean slate. We see, apparently, according to Rav Yitzhak Blaser was the student of Yisrael Salanter. This is brought in the Sefer Moedim Muzmanim by Rav Sternbach. He says, We see that from the fact that Rav went and he schlepped all the way to the butcher shop to get him to ask for forgiveness, means that he held that you have to ask. It's not enough just to be mochel. You have to ask if you want to have forgiveness at the end of the day. And simply saying I'm mochel is not sufficient. The Sefer Pele Yoetz by Rav Elazar Papo, the great Sephardi Gadol in the 1800s, in the 18th century. So he says as well, we see from this Gemara, you gotta ask, and it's not sufficient just mochel. If that's the case, we are in a very awkward situation, because we have to go back now and relive all those awkward moments over the course of the year as well. The Gemara goes on to talk about Rav Zeira, who would do the same thing, try to get people who insulted him together to ask for forgiveness, and we see this reason brought again as well. So let's try to wiggle out of our problem, shall we? We're going to try to show that maybe you don't have to ask for mechila in order to have a clean slate this coming Sunday night. Perhaps there's another Rambam. If you look at the Rambam in front of you, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Zayin, the Rambam says, Talmud Chacham Shebazuhu Ocharfu Adam Befarhesya. If a Talmud Chacham is embarrassed in public, Asur Lo Limchol Al Kvodo. It is not only is he not allowed to, it is usher for him to forgive that person who embarrassed him publicly, be machal, and if he is mochal and he lets it go, ne'enash, he will be punished by that, because it is a bizayin ha-Torah. If you are a person who represents the Torah, if you are a Talmud Chacham, and people view you as a representation of what the Torah stands for, and someone degrades you in public, and they don't publicly ask for forgiveness, it's not your kavod they hurt. Whose kavod do they attack? The Torah itself. The Torah is crying in the Aron in our shul, saying, I can't believe this person did this to the Torah. And therefore, if a person publicly embarrasses the Talmud Chacham, the Rambam says, he cannot be mochel, he must wait for the person to come and apologize as well. So, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, and Rav Nissen Karelitz, and Rav Moshe Sternbach, and Moed Muzmanim, they all say, maybe that's what happened here. Rav was a Talmud Chacham. And therefore, under normal circumstances, what could he have done? He could have said, I forgive the guy. But this guy publicly embarrassed this Talmud Chacham, and he said, in order to make this guy's slate clean, I have to go and make sure that he asks for mechila, and he was not allowed to be mochel. Now, what that also means as it follows, though, is that the case of Rav, he must have been insulted in public. Because if you look at the Rambam continues, v'chenai derech chasidim rishonim, and he goes on to say, and he says, But the Hasidim Rishonim, the great rabbis, if they were insulted, they would not respond. What's that talking about? Look at the last line. B'madvar mamurim kishabazu achafr b'seiser. If the rabbi, the Talmud Chacham, is insulted privately, then you should forgive him. Because nobody knows about it. It wasn't a lack of kavod to the Torah. But if it was public, then the Rambam says you cannot forgive him. So it must be, according to his opinion, that Rav Huna was in public. It was insulted where? In private or in public? Sorry, Rav was insulted in public, not in private at the end of the day. Okay, let's look at another way to talk about this proof. The other is brought in the Sefer Oz Nidbaru, right? Binyamin Zilber, the great tzaddik of Bnei Brak. So he wants to say that there's no proof in the story of Rav. And he tells us the following point. He says, if I'm mochel, let's say Rav is mochel, the butcher that insults him. Let's make it a contemporary day example, shall we? Let's say the local kosher food establishment is saying bad things about the Vod. Okay? They're going on Facebook and WhatsApp and they're saying the Vod is the mafia and the Vod is trying to ruin everything and the rebuttal of the Vod are the worst. All types of terrible things. Not that they would ever happen, but let's pretend for a moment that they were going on and saying terrible things about the rabbis giving hechsher in the community publicly. So let's say the rabbi is mochel. Let's say Rav was mochel, the butcher in that case, right? Let's say he said, I forgive him. But the next day, the butcher's back on WhatsApp and he's back on Facebook writing the same things. Is that going to help that you were mochel him? He's continuing the machlokas. He's continuing to fight it and make it worse. The rabbi is saying, I'm mochel, whatever. Okay, but the next day he's causing machlokas, and the next day he's causing machlokas, and the next day he's causing machlokas. So says Rav Binyamin Zilber, if Rav knew that this butcher was what? He was going to continue going, continue saying terrible things, doing terrible things at the end of the day. And therefore, it wouldn't help to be mochel. because he knew that unless the butcher comes on his own and says, I'm sorry for what I did, then it's not going to solve the problem at the end of the day. Okay, let's give another proof to why maybe you don't have to ask for mechila and why that case was different. Rabbi Yeshua Ehrenberg is the second rabbi on the page. He was staring at the candle. Everyone see him? He was the Rav in Tel Aviv. He lived a very fascinating life. He went through the Holocaust and wrote about his experiences. A very, very interesting personality. So he has a sefer called the Devar Yehoshua, his questions and answers. This is in volume 5, in Chelek Hei. So Rabbi Yehoshua Ehrenberg wants to bring a story from a Yerushalmi in Maseches Shvius. Without getting into the details, during Shemitah, you can't guard your field. Because if you guard your field, that means your field is not hefker, ownerless, for everybody to come and take. Does that make sense? Now, there's a lot of details in the story, but we're going to leave those out so it's not so complicated. Essentially, Rabbi Tarfon had a field, and there were guards on his field during Shemitah. There's a reason why there were guards. That's not our discussion right now. And Rabbi Tarfon, one night, went into his field to go eat from it. It's his field. And the guards saw this stranger coming in with a black hoodie, sneaking in the middle of the night into Rabbi Tarfon's field. And they saw it's an intruder. So they went and they took their clubs and their weapons and they attacked the intruder. They started beating him and beating him up because he was doing the wrong thing. But what was the problem? Who was the intruder? It was Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon starts screaming, oh my gosh, leave me alone, what are you doing to me? And they're like, oh my gosh, it's our boss. So they step back. They're obviously incredibly embarrassed. They just beat up their boss that they're supposed to protect in the field for. And they start apologizing. And Rabbi Tarfon says to them, no, no, no. You don't have to apologize. Why? Because on every single hit, each time you hit me, I forgave you. Because I knew you were doing your job. I knew you were doing your job. And I was mochel you. I already gave you mechila, and there's no reason for you to have to apologize. So what do we see from here? Says Rabbi Ehrenberg, the Devar Yehoshua, that if you're mochel somebody before, then what do they not have to do? They don't have to ask for forgiveness. And the Gemara seems to be very clear. So he then raises another question. Well, he says, well, this is actually what we do in Tfilas Zaka, which we're going to talk about in a moment. The tefillah that we say Erev Yom Kippur when you come to shul. We say, Hareini ani mochel, I forgive everybody who did anything to me, even though I don't know what they did. So we see that we do this all the time. But Rabbi Tarfon, wasn't he a Talmid Chacham? Didn't we say, if you embarrass a Talmid Chacham, then you can't be mochel? So maybe it wasn't in public, maybe it wasn't so many people there who were beating him up. They didn't know he was Rabbi Tarfon, right? They just knew he was some guy. This is like, you know, everybody knows the story of the Chafetz Chaim. Some people were making his life miserable on the train and giving him a hard time, and they got to the city that he was going to, and all the people came out and they saw that it was the Chafetz Chaim, right? So what happened to the people who were making him miserable? They were very embarrassed of what they did. So he came to the Chafetz Chaim next day and said, we're so, so sorry. We can't believe we did this to you. You know, please forgive us. And the Chafetz Chaim said, I can't forgive you. So he said, what do you mean? He said, I can't forgive you, but you're the Chafetz Chaim. Like, you always forgive people. That's your thing, right? You're a nice guy. What's the problem over here? He said, you didn't insult me. Who'd you insult? Every old man on a train that you take advantage of. You only want to come apologize because you think that I'm an important person. But what about the level that you treat other people? You don't think they're important. So the same thing over here, right? They were beating him up because they didn't think he was Rabbi Tarfon. They thought it was somebody else. So at the end of the day, there's what to discuss about whether you should be mochel them or not mochel them as well. Okay, let's bring another fascinating proof from the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger Rebbe is the last picture on the plague, the last picture on the page that we need to discuss. The Kloisenberger Rebbe is famous for his survival and his emunah's Mesiras Nefesh during the Holocaust. As I always do, I recommend highly reading his biography, Lapidation Hebrew. We actually have the English biography in the library here. If you want to take it out for some good Aseres Mechuva or Sukkot reading, by all means. It's an incredible, incredible story about his life and what he overcame, what he accomplished. But he has tshuvos. He wrote responsa after the Holocaust. So in his tshuvos, Divrei Yitziv in Chelek Beis, in Siman Reish and Ches, he writes that the main idea is being mochel, and you don't have to ask for mechila. What's his proof? His proof is from Yosef and the brothers. At the very end of the Torah in Parshas Vayechi, after Yaakov dies, the brothers come and start asking Yosef for mechila, for what they did. So the Kloisenberg Rebbe asks, I understand it's a little late. When should they have asked for mechila? When should they have originally asked for forgiveness? What? Right in Parshas Miketz, in Parshas Vayigash, when they find out that Yosef's the one. Why are they waiting, you know, 20 years after Yaakov dies to ask for mechila? Well, it's a bit late to the party. Where were they this whole time? So the Kloisenberg Rebbe says, look carefully at their words. What they said in Parshas, when Parshas Vayigash, Yosef says to them immediately, Al tatzvu, lo atem shalachtem, you don't be upset. You didn't send me ki elokim, it was a kadosh baruch hu. I'm going to take care of you. Everything is good. What happened? Right after the brothers were discovered, what did Yosef say? Apparently he said, I'm mochel you. I forgive you. Don't worry about it, right? So what did the brothers think? Yosef was mochel us. Do I have to ask for forgiveness if the person is already mochel me? Apparently not. So they relaxed and said, we're good. Us and Yosef, we are bros, literally and figuratively. We're good to go, and we don't have to ask for mechila. Everything is fine. But what happened? If you look at the end of Parshas Vayechi, after Yaakov dies, Rashi says that Yosef became very distant from the brothers. He didn't want to hang out with them. There was a coldness between them. And they realized that there was not a complete mechila. So they had to go back again and ask for mechila. Because they saw that Yosef was only being super nice to them because Yaakov was alive. But once Yaakov was in the ground and buried, it's understandable you'd be upset if your siblings sold you into slavery. So Yosef was not completely mochel. They had to ask for mechila again. But says the Kloisenberger Rebbe, what do we see? We see that the main thing is the mechila. Theoretically, the brothers could have received mechila in the beginning because Yosef said other things good. They didn't have to ask. And therefore, another proof that perhaps you don't have to ask for mechila, but if you know the person will give you mechila, it is sufficient at the end of the day. Let's discuss one more proof or one more discussion that will come to practical halacha. Rav Yaakov Edelstein was a rav in Eretz Yisrael. I think they just published a biography about him, a very big tzaddik who passed away. I think Sivan Rachav Meir and her husband wrote a biography about him that was recently translated by Artscroll. So Rav Yaakov Edelstein has a sefer on the Minchas Chinuch, which is a classic sefer, and he tells the following comparison that he heard from Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. Listen to this. The Chafetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen, when he went to write his book, The Chafetz Chaim, on the laws of Lashon Hara, he went to the Gadol Hador at that time, and that was Rav Yisrael Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement. And he wanted a letter of recommendation, right? Just like you get a letter of recommendation for school, for colleges, summer programs, things like that. If you open up any sefer, there's what we call in the beginning haskamos. Haskamos are letters from other rabbis saying, like, you know, I know this guy, he writes a good sefer, I read the sefer, it's good, I never read the sefer, but I know his father, and what all types of different things, right? So he went to Rav Yisrael Salanter for a letter. So Rav Yisrael Salanter reads the whole thing, and he says, it's great, fantastic, this is what the world needs. It's a great sefer, we need to learn more about Lashon Hara. But I'm not going to give you a letter. So the young Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen, the young Chafetz Chaim, is a bit taken aback. He said, you just said the book is great. So why won't you write me a letter? So Rav Yisrael Salanter said, because there's something in there that I can't agree to. So he said, what is it? He said, you write in the fourth chapter of the book, the Chafetz Chaim, that if you speak Lashon Hara about somebody and you want to do tshuva for what you did, what do you have to do? You have to go and tell the person that you spoke Lashon Hara about them. Can you imagine how awkward that is? Right? You told everybody that Chaim has messy handwriting. Right? So now Chaim's reputation is ruined. Everybody knows that he has messy handwriting. And now Chaim always wonders the whole year, how did everybody make fun of me? I have messy handwriting. Who told them that? So now it's Erev Yom Kippur. And according to the Chafetz Chaim, you've got to call Chaim up on the phone and say, Chaim, I'm so sorry, but I want you to know I'm the one who told everyone that you have messy handwriting. And better, if Chaim never even knows people are talking about him, You have to go and tell him, Chaim, I want you to know, the whole class knows that you have messy handwriting, and I told them. And I did. I'm sorry. Have a great Yom Kippur. Click. So says Rabbi Sal Salanter to the Chafetz Chaim, how can it be that you are going to clean your slate and you're going to have a great Yom Kippur with your tshuva, but by doing so, what'd you do? You just drag Chaim through the mud and you made him feel like garbage by bringing up the fact of Lashon Hara about him. You can't make your Yom Kippur better by making Chaim feel like a shmata. It doesn't work. And therefore, Rabbi Sal Salanter said, if you spoke Lashon Hara, you may not do tshuva by simply going and tell the person you spoke Lashon Hara about them, because you're going to make him feel like garbage. You can't do that. The Chafetz Chaim didn't back down. He said, my source is Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva. Rabbi Sal Salanter said, I'm not backing down, and therefore we have no letter of recommendation for the Chafetz Chaim from Rabbi Sal Salanter. Says Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman, it's the same thing over here. If it's about asking for mechila and having to subjugate yourself and make it uncomfortable, then the same thing should be over here. You got to ask. You have to tell the person you spoke Lashon Hara. But if it's just about clearing the slate and getting mechila, then why should I have to tell the person? If I feel bad about it, and the person's going to say, I'm mochel anybody, everybody, Erev Yom Kippur, why should I have to make his life miserable? The same point, just in a different reference. So how do we come out halacha l'maisa? Well, there's a comment of the Bach. The Bach writes, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, he writes this in Siman Tav Reish Vav, Leichis Parnes V'Rahav Reyacha. Mishlei says, go and humble yourself before your friend and let him feel superior. The point being that Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, in order to do tshuva, you must humiliate yourself. You have to lower yourself before your friend to do tshuva. So what am I supposed to do? The Bach says I gotta go. Maybe I don't have to go. How do we paskin? So the Aznidbru is unsure. And this comes down to what we just mentioned before. Tfilas Zaka. Do we all say Tfilas Zaka of Yom Kippur? Do we even know what's going on over here? In your machzer, before Kol Nidre, you must set aside time to come to shul early, to finish up the Suda, and to say Tfilas Zaka. It is an incredibly important tefillah to say. You must say it. In which you go through all the things that happen through the year, and you are mochel people, b'peh mele, with your mouth, and saying, anybody who harmed me, I am mochel them. It is so key to come into Yom Kippur saying Tfilas Zaka. Many people rush into shul right before Kol Nidre. They don't say it properly. They rush through it. It is so, so important to go and say Tfilas Zaka. Say it in English. It's in all your machzorim. And to set aside time to say it. If you feel it's going to be rushed before Yom Kippur, then say it in the morning. So where you have time to say it, sometime on the day before Yom Kippur, to go and say this tefillah. And it's that key line. It's so important that the Tefillah Zak was written by the Chai Adam who lived in the 1800s. And the Chafetz Chaim, he told people to cut out that line about forgiving people at the end and to move it to the beginning, just in case you don't have time to finish the whole tefillah. That's how important it is. So what do we do over here? According to Rav Yitzhak Blazer and the Pella Yoetz and other Svarim, you can't rely on the person being mochel you. You got to go and ask for yourself. There's nothing to talk about. And that puts many of us in an uncomfortable situation. I assume that perhaps you offended people over the course of the year. I mean, not that you must have offended people, but it's natural. We misspeak. We make jokes. We think it's not a big deal, but for somebody else it is a big deal. And people are sensitive, right or wrong, whatever it may be. But according to those opinions, you got to go and bring it up again and ask for forgiveness. However, the Devar Yehoshua and Rav Yashiv and his comments on Yuma say that if you are truly embarrassed to go and bring up that thing again, you cannot bring yourself to confront the offending party. You can rely on them saying Tfilas Zaka Erev Yom Kippur. And that's why you need to say it as well. Because you may be saving somebody from judgments on Yom Kippur by making sure you say a tefillah, by not saying a Tfilas Zaka or saying a Tfilas Zaka. Rav Nissen Karel says it depends. He says, if you're saying Tfilas Zaka on Erev Yom Kippur, because it's in the Machzer, and Rabbi Rice told you have to say it, but you're not really interested in saying you're just going to say it and daven it up like anything else, then it's not going to work. But if you say Tfilas Zaka with kavana and intensity, and slowly and carefully, you say, really, b'lev shalem, I sincerely forgive people who may have harmed me, who made jokes about me, a teacher who, you know, said something that was, you know, insensitive to me, whatever it may be, and I really, some lady in the store who was obnoxious to me when I wanted to buy something or return something, whatever it is, and you sincerely say, I am mochel them b'lev shalem, you are giving them a tremendous gift on Yom Kippur. And it's not a small thing to walk into Yom Kippur with as clean a slate as possible. And you have to make sure you're saying it properly and make sure it's proper kavanah. Because if you're not saying a B'lev Shalom, you're not saying with the proper kavanah, then it could be that a friend of yours, a relative, somebody you met on the street once, is walking into Yom Kippur without a clean slate because you're not being mochel then. So this is the takeaway at the end of the day. Should you try to be mochel people, going up to them and asking for forgiveness, 100% that's the best thing to do. If you just can't, it's too much, you can't bear the thought of having to confront that person, then rely on them saying Tefillah Zakah, but you yourself better make sure that your Tefillah Zakah is going to be good for other people as well, and to make sure they're going to have a big Yom Kippur. The achrayus of the responsibility is great, and if we all do it together, and we all open up our hearts, and we all forgive one another, and we all come into Yom Kippur ready to restart, and ready to press that refresh button again, will make a big difference for us and all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, everyone should have a great rest of the day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.